So today we're going to talk about having a city without walls. So let's just almost start with prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for your word that we can study and study and study and still find new things, understanding, etc. Lord, I thank you for all of those things. Lord, I ask that you watch over us, that you be with us, that your Holy Spirit will weave our hearts together as one to follow the direction that you are going. Many things are happening, Lord, and I'm so glad that you are my God and that I am your people. And we thank you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry about my throat. Thinks it's going good, and the next thing you know, I can't talk, but that's okay. We'll just keep on going. All right, so on your sheet, there's one scripture. I don't know how long we'll go with one scripture, but it could be short, very short. If everybody just keeps their mouth closed. Just kidding. Gail, you have to talk for sure. So, oh no, David has to talk for sure. Then we know it's going to go somewhere. So, lots of things have been going on with me in a personal way. And like it always is with everybody else, I'm sure, not just me. And I resigned from my position and my job, and Friday was my last day. So here I am on Sunday, and as far as I know, I have another job, but I haven't given me a start date, but it's okay. So I'm just going forward with that, and it's just odd for me to be out of a job and without a solid start date. That's not my norm. I'm 63. Thank you, Carmen. Well, she knows. We're the same age. Monica, if she was watching, would be going, yeah, 63, yeah, 60. Because she's the same age as me, too. Can you believe that? Oh, keep going. I know. I never mind. I'm not going to talk about that. So anyway, it's just been a weird transition. But what transitions aren't weird? So it just is, here we go. All right, here we go. So I was asking the Lord, obviously, what's going on? And I want to know what's happening. I want to understand what's happening. And I really haven't heard anything about what's happening. And then as I started to come out of the Friday was my last day. Turned in my equipment. When that happened, things started feeling different inside of me. Wasn't as icky, wasn't as whatever. Sat down at my computer at home to start my Sunday school lesson, and I'm looking over to the right where my computer was set up for work, and it's not there. I'm like, oh, I don't even have to think about that. Oh, okay. So I just asked the Lord, what happened? You know? Was it my fault? Well, you can't, as a Catholic, it's always my fault. But Catholic upbringing, right? Well, Carmen can say to that. So can Kim. Can't you, Kim? So, you know, I just tried to listen to the Lord as best I could. I felt like I had no discipline in being still and waiting on him. I was like impatient. I waited like 5 minutes. I got up and walked around. You know, I waited for 2 minutes and I thought of something else to do. I mean, that just seems to be my MO. Lately, it's not going to be that way anymore. So the Father led me to this scripture in Proverbs 25:28. And when I read it, it just floored me. I don't think it'll floor you guys as much, but it definitely floored me. And it says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. That last part just really hit me. So I started, obviously, my brain's going, okay, what do I know about walls? You know, which cities had these walls that they talked about? And I started jotting things down, writing things down. You guys probably think about walls. You think about Nehemiah, right? Jerusalem had the broken walls and all that whole chapter on how you rebuilt those. And then Jericho, that's the other one I thought of is Jericho. And the silly little peas, and they were singing. They threw the slushy over You were there too. Just like, I bet you can sing the song that they were singing on the wall. That you can sing the silly little song. So, you know, those kinds of things came to my mind. And then I started thinking about us and our city here in Port St. John and what we did to claim, to stake out, to raise the flag and raise the banner of the Lord, that this city is His, that this county is the Father's, and all that we did to, you know, I'm not going to say resolve, but all that we did to take that back, to take this city back, this property, the things that we've done here, and here in this room, the gates that we identified, the doorways that we have seen, and all of that is all part of who we are. It's part of our identity. And I never thought about walls being part of our identity. So I'm like, okay, Lord, I need some help. Okay, let me help. You know, found things out that I've never understood about walls, or that I didn't even know about walls. But there's a scripture that backs up some of the things I'm going to say. Well, most things I'm going to say. But what happens when you have no discipline or you lack self-control? Because really, if you look up the word, it is rule over is the word metzar, but it also roots back to Moshel. Anyway, it means to be subjectively control. So you are subjected to reigning in, bringing forth. I mean, you're in control of, in this case, what does it say? Your ruach. And it's, you know, it's our ruach. We can talk a lot about that. We've talked a lot about that before. But if you are not a self-controlled person, if you do not, and it's the fruit of the Spirit as well, but if you are not ruling over your spirit man, then your walls are broken. And we're going to talk about that broken walls as well, but your walls are going to be like they were in Jerusalem. Anybody could come in the time of Nehemiah because there's all these gaps in the wall everywhere. And we understand gaps because we do parets. We understand what that means. And we understand parats, which is the breakthrough, which, believe it or not, is that word. Yep. The broken down is the word parats. So I'm, of course, I mean, you guys are sometimes smarter than I am. No, you guys are. But I'm looking at this saying, what does this mean? What does this mean for me first? I have to start with me. I don't know what's going on, Lord, what's happening. But if I think about where I've been and where I've been at the last, let's just say the last year. We can even just say 6 months, just this year. But if you go back a whole year to the middle of last year to today, what's been going on with me? Well, a lot of it is the things that happen when you don't have a wall that is in place, that's not broken, that doesn't have gaps, that doesn't have breakthroughs that happened in the wrong direction. I'm going to say it that way because that's what I feel like it that is. But, you know, you look at a city. A city without a wall. We have lots of cities now without walls. But, you know, way back in the day, you wouldn't have thought of going to the west and travel that way without a fort with walls around it. So the enemy stays out, you stay in. You're protected. You're watched over. It's not chaos because you have all these people with you that basically had the same concept. And you're not controlled by the outside world. In a fort, in a wall. And that's what we have around us. But around our spirit man, we must build a wall. Now, if you guys like football, you've seen some movies, they talk about on defense, build a wall, build me a wall. Some of you guys don't watch that, but that means don't let anything through. So on defense, it's a goal line stand. If they cross the goal, touchdown, no, build a wall, don't let them through. And that's on defense. We can't allow the enemy through, obviously. Now, on a personal basis, what's going on with you and your wall? Is it perfectly erect? Are there any gaps or any issues? And on the paper right below that, there's a little table. of gates. I listed some gates, what I was calling gates, and those are the areas that the enemy wants to wriggle in, come in and take over. I'm not going to say possess you, but come in and take over that area of your life to cause you to do not what God wants you to do. And so that's kind of where I've been at. And I've been at times very confused because I'm not getting one signal because I have gaps in my wall. I'm getting a couple different signals. I can't understand, what do you want me to do? What's going on? And all these things. And even all the way up to the day that I resigned my position, I was getting a lot of confusion coming in. And that leads to something else, which I'll talk about too soon. But I was getting a lot of things that, I mean, there was a time I stopped, sat down, talked to the Lord. Da, 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 he said, this is what you need to do. As clearly as I can see the Smith's car out there, that's what the Lord said. This is what you need to do. Not too long after that, it's like, but I stuck with it. And it was hard, and it's still hard. I still don't know what's going on in the future, but I know that I have gaps that I have to close up. I have to rebuild, restore what God has already established within me. I need to rebuild that, restore that to where He gave it to me, to when He gave it to me, to what it is, and moving forward. So I was, again, when I read this, I was absolutely floored that what happens if you don't have a wall? If you're without walls, and you know, there's walls everywhere in Scripture, even in heaven, the temple. Isn't that what John measured, the walls and all? They are important. They really are. Okay, so let's look at, well, we already looked at the Scripture. I'm just kidding. I know. Let's look at, well, in your own words or in your own head, what would happen if in Scripture that you remember, what happens if you don't have a wall? What occurs? Now, one thing I did mention is there's got to be a measure of anxiety. Some kind of thing like that. If you're a person that lived in Jerusalem at the time and you had all those enemies circling around your wall, how did you feel? I mean, if you're not working on the wall, then were you wondering, did someone come over the wall? Did someone come in? Think about those nights when you forgot to lock the door. I got to get up and lock the door. I mean, what kind of thoughts go through your mind when that happens? Are you weaker? Are you stronger? It just depends on, I guess, your take on what's happening. So, looking at the little table that I gave you, let's talk a little bit about that. So if we talk about in you, any of these, like you could like just check off right now, is something that's been happening or something that happened recently, where you were not, you did not secure the gates of your tongue. So obviously, what does that mean? You know, are you quick to speak and slow to listen, or are you just quick to speak? And are you quick to speak or vent or murmur, or are you quick to speak, declaring the word of the Lord, blessings? Is that gate secure in your heart, in your spirit, man? What about the gate of the mind? Oh, this would be just a wonderful one for me. I checked that twice, I guess. The gate of the mind, do you allow resentment, impure thoughts, anxiety, silly thoughts loop around in your head? I like the way that said that. Loop around in your head, that's so me. It's here and it goes all the way around and it goes back up here and it goes back up here. And, you know, we do that. Some of us do that at night. We can't even fall asleep because these things are going on and on and on and on and on and on. Is the gate of your mind secure? How about the gate of the appetite? This one was a little weird. And then I realized, oh, I'm not just talking about I'm eating because I'm anxious. That's my appetite. I want to eat. What else can you do that you can watch social media? Read social media. You can watch videos till your eyes fall out. You can escape by, pick something that satisfies you when things aren't going well. We all usually have something, maybe not. Maybe I'm the only one that has stuff, but what is it that you go to when things aren't going your way? And this is the only time that you think about this stuff, though, is when things aren't going your way, you start thinking about, what can I do to escape? What do I need to fix? What do I need to improve? When things are going, la, 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 this is great. Look at the Lord, what the Lord has done. Yeah, we're all happy and go lucky stuff. You know, you listen to worship songs. A lot of the worship songs are sung from people who are down in the depths, and then now they're not. They're up somewhere else. Or sometimes it's just, this is how the Lord is. He's almighty and awesome. And he is, always. But how are we perceiving it? How is our spirit man taking it? How is your mind, will, and emotions taking it? These are the things that the Lord was having me go through, go over, review for myself. Where am I? What am I doing? What am I thinking? Am I thinking like the Lord? Am I acting like Jesus? Am I, you know, you guys fill in the blank, you know what I'm trying to say. So then the next one is the gate of time. So do I spend my time on good things or things that have nothing? They're like vapor. They're vain. They're vain imaginations, or you know, just wasting your time. Is that where you're at in that one? Is that gate guarded? And the last one is the gate of offense. And that kind of can go with the gate of the mind, mind you. but I didn't realize how offended I was at work. And how that shaped my interaction with my coworkers. The person that offended me, or the persons that offended me, or people that I was talking to, my colleagues. What was going on? Did I notice that I was in offense? No, I didn't. Did a root of bitterness come in? Yeah, I was trying to. I mean, thankfully, I recognized the root of bitterness faster than I recognized offense. Guess who helped me with that? Talk to him, Vicky.
I actually had a dream this last week where an individual was in it, and the scenario was I was highly offended at, and it was, you know, if you looked at it through natural eyes, it was an offensive worthy scenario. and so when I woke up later, I was asking the Lord, what is that about? And he was saying, I want you to be on guard against becoming offended. And sure enough, later that day, that very opportunity arose. And as soon as it occurred, I'm like, zing, there it is. And I thought, okay, because it would have been really easy and natural to just go with it, you know, especially given my personality. And you know,
anyway. She's not offended, but dang, dude, come on.
No, it's true, though, because it's funny, too, because as a saint, we know it as soon as it happens. We know that feeling, you know, we're immediately feel it. And you were just saying how you don't know when something's going awry or being abused in you, and you have to find it. And that's what God is doing, I think, by bringing it up like that. And sometimes he uses people we love and care for greatly, but that's the whole point. It's not about this. We can't make it about this stuff. We're all going to screw up. We're all going to have these humongous holes. And guess what? Our best beloved friends and family are going to stick their foot right in there and hit their face on the floor, and you're going to go, oh my gosh, did I do that? And you're going to be like, yeah, you sort of did. And you're going to hate it, and it's going to come back on you. But all that being said, everything you're pointing to here is all stuff that God wants to partner with us. Mm-hmm. He made the gates, the walls, the doors, the windows for us to partner with him so we could see how he works, so we know how he functions, and we can reapply it to our lives, so we can re-administer it back to someone else to bless them, to bring them up higher, and to be that person that we need to be. And it's all that beautiful fine-tuning. Guess what? We get to go to heaven with this, man.
Hallelujah. Amen.
I just know that every opportunity with a fast of feasting is something where we just need to totally open ourselves up to what God wants to do. Because I know the desire of every heart in here is to want to be used by God to the utmost. And if we're going to be efficiently used by him, if we're going to be ready to meet that next scenario that comes up that may not be so easy to step into, may not be so easy to immediately, you know, apply whatever needs to be applied, we have to be ready. And the only way we're going to be ready is for our own iniquities to be exposed, and not just exposed, but submitted before him.
See, that's it. Submitted. It has to be submitted. We have to let go, which for some people it's easier than others. And actually, in some areas, it's easier than others. I mean, if you would have told me that that I would leave my position because I was offended, or that was part of the reason that I left, I would have said, no, I don't get offended, especially working with men. Sorry for all you guys in here, but I mean, my IT business is a lot more men than it is women. It's like being an engineer. Engineers out there, and people who have been engineers that are out there at the Cape, you have to put up with a lot because the men just, they're men. Sorry, guys. And they just have these things, and they think things are this way, and that's just the way it is, and what's wrong with you? And I actually had one of my bosses a while ago compliment me on the fact that I don't get offended when guys were saying things to me when we had meetings and stuff, and they were saying stuff that wasn't true. He knew it, but he's like, why did they say that? And he didn't talk about that part with me. Just I'm grateful that I have a woman who does not get offended being around six men, two women in my group. I was like, okay, but here I am at this job that I just left, finding myself being offended by my two bosses. Not offended, I had three bosses. I'm not offended by my third boss. She was a woman. So then, okay, Lord, come on, help me out on this one. So, you know, the two bosses, they offended me. And sometimes I could deal with it, but other times it just went, and I couldn't get past it. At least I thought I had in some ways, but apparently I had not, because it was still there. And so when I left the position, that atmosphere was no longer around me. And then I could see things a little more clear about that. So, I mean, that was a gap in my wall that I didn't realize it was there. I knew I had some feelings, some feelings about, you know, my bosses, but it just didn't seem to hit me that that's what was really going on. Because like one of my bosses is also a friend, and he was my boss, and I've known him for like 20 something years. And, you know, I know his characteristics, quite a few of them. I know how he thinks sometimes, but it still offended me. But is he not my friend anymore? He probably would say I'm not his friend anymore. I don't think I would say that, because that's not the area that he offended me in. It was a whole boss thing. So it was a lot of stuff I had to untangle, and it's still untangling, and I'm still working my way through it. But offense, the gate of offense for me was one of the gates that was open and not definitely not closed, as well as the gate of the tongue, because of how I react when I'm offended. And some of you might even know, I think I offended her. You might even notice that. And being angry, that's part of offense. And I do that a lot to myself, just being angry at myself, be offended by me. Is that possible? Yes, it's possible. So I decided, obviously, to go through the scripture one at a time, look at the words and try to understand what's happening. And you can see that he hath no rule over. Rule over is that one word, like I said, about being in control. No, not being in control. That's the wrong word. Controlling yourself, your emotions, your ruach, mind, will, emotions, all of that concept. And then I went down to his own spirit, which is ruach, which we have talked about a lot. And most of the time we talk about ruach, it's a capital R, because we're talking about the spirit of God. But we have through ruach within us, we have our own spirit man. And that's the part that has to be guided towards, pointed towards, and not off of that true north to the Lord. It can't waver. It can't deviate. What messes a compass up? Electromagnetic fields? Nobody knows what messes a compass up. What did he say? Yeah. Do you want to say some more, Josiah? We'll hand you the microphone. Okay. What did he say?
I just can't hear
me. I know I can't. And he puts his hands up like, see, you proved the point. Right, but the people that are watching can't hear you either. So it is my fault, I understand. All right. So what is it that gets us off of that true north to the Lord with our spirit? And I guess everybody's different. But those gates is what I was part of the thing I'm talking about. So where'd I go? Back over here. So the next word that we're looking at is his own spirit. That's Ruach. And then a city, which we know what a city is, right? It's a place where lots of people are. We'll say it that way. Though I know some cities that are smaller than others. But it's a place where people gather together or exist with each other. There's going to be lots of different things there. Diversity of opinions and culture and all those things that we talk about now. Think about the cities now in just the United States of America or even in Europe that are what some people might call a mess and other people may call successful. When you think about those, do they have a wall? Is their wall secure? Do they have a purpose? I have to go that way route. Is there a purpose to the cities and what they're doing? Is there a purpose to what the enemy is doing? And if you look at yourself as a city, you need to have that wall, obviously, so that you be that city. You be that city, Adrian. You just be that city. What? Oh, yeah, Carmen, that's right. Thank you. What about that word city?
Ear is ear. Also means anguish and excitement or of terror. But I went and looked on the Strong's, and they don't have one use for that definition. And it's the first definition.
And it's in the scripture that we're looking at.
No, not as that.
Oh, it's Strong's. Yes.
Yeah, okay, but gotcha. it still uses city and all the other ones. Of a city, you know, whatever the version is. But I scrolled through them. There's a lot of them, 1,500 of them. But but it didn't have, as I was zooming through them, I didn't see anything but city, city, city. Mm-hmm. And even though it says in the definition, if you look, it says excitement, anguish, of terror.
It's about rousing yourself to be awakened.
Did you see that part of that definition, Carmen, too? Oh, that's right. That's right. This is in the other.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
A place
guarded by waking or a watch. And then it roots back to that same type of concept to rouse oneself, awaken in sight.
And we talk about being the watchman on the wall. This incorporates that as well. We have to be the watchman on the wall. So that for our own self, so that there's no gap, there's no, I'll call it issues. There's no problem. Think about cities that you want to visit or that you have visited. How did you feel when you were in that city? I am not a fan of big cities. I never have been. I don't like that many people. That doesn't sound right. But I would prefer small towns. I mean, I used to count how many traffic lights were in New Smyrna Beach when I grew up there. There were three traffic lights when we moved there when I was in first grade. Three. How many traffic lights are there now? Some of you go there. Bunches and bunches, more than three, 12, more than 12, blah, blah, blah. Once we got to double digits, I stopped counting. But to me, that's a city. That's a big city. Not really. But what city would you go to and feel secure? Would you go to, and if I say them, I'm going to get myself in trouble, so. Think about cities you would not want to ever go to. But you will if the Lord told you, but you don't really want to go there. I mean, you can think about those. You can see one of the biggest issues with some of the cities I don't want to go to is how secure is it? How safe is it to be there? And that's how we need to feel in our spirit. We need to feel safe with the Lord. Our mind, our will, emotions, our spirit man needs to be all tuned in so that whatever's going on, I still feel secure, no matter what. Like me, you know, not having a job right this second. I need to be secure. This is what the Lord told me to do. Why am I even going there? Why am I even letting those things come into my mind? I don't know. Let's stop doing that. So when you think about life without self-control, I don't really want to think about that. But if you think about life without self-control, it means that your moods, your anger, all that is not easily mastered, but it's mastered by the people or the influences outside of you. Ugh. If you think about feeling constantly uneasy, that your life feels super messy or not very stable. You know, maybe you guys don't think this way, but sometimes my mind goes to, oh, you're insane. And then I really start thinking, I am insane. No. In the strictest of definitions, no. But the enemy wants you to feel that way. I mean, really, we went for a while, you're crazy, to, oh, I'm not so crazy. And then now you have other things going on. You're like, whoa, this is way out there. You know what? God's way out there. So we want to be where he is. If that's where he's at, let's go. But again, I got to have all that sorted out in my spirit, man, so that the reaction time is milliseconds instead of 2 minutes. Let me think about that. I just need to ponder that one, Lord. I know we have to ponder some things, but most of the stuff that the Lord's asking us to do right now are things that we know. We know. We know. Don't let those go. I do let them go. Don't let them go. You know, and you look at big cities and stuff, and actually just in the world, and what are most people ruled by? Fear? Yep. Fear? What business does fear have to do with my spirit man? Only the fear of the Lord. The only business my spirit man needs to be calculating or dealing with, not anything else. Impulses, right? We have lots of people that they're impulse buy. Let's go binge drinking. Let's do, you know, whatever. People, I mean, that those are kinds of things. Go ahead, Vicki.
Yeah, you think about the scripture, it says perfect love cast out all fear. And that really, that completion of agape within you, if you don't understand, if you think that agape is just merely loving your neighbor and that's not even a good example, having good feelings towards all mankind, let me put it that way,
yes,
towards every person. Mm-hmm. And you have to like do some sort of mental gymnastics to make yourself want to love everybody, even the person that is railing against God. And I'm not saying you don't want to bless them in the way of asking God to intervene in their life. Don't get me wrong on that. Mm-hmm. But it's not about feelings and bending over backwards for everybody. You know, if you think that's what it is, you can see why the church is so easily deceived and why they've, you know, continued to accept a basic message that has no power in it, that requires nothing of them, and that leaves them all susceptible to whatever comes down the pike in the world.
Exactly. And yeah, we're not them, meaning we're not going to be that way. We accept everything. We don't. Go ahead, Agent. Yeah, hey.
I guess it's just saying the same thing the more I think about it, but it's, you know, because you look at the general church, just as an example, and they're a city without walls. They don't understand pursuing God, partnering with him, you know, that the things you do are about aligning with God's will, because when they're trying to come up with, well, what songs do we sing? It's, well, what makes us feel good? And oh, and if these songs don't make this group of people feel good, then we'll just have two sermons so we can sing two different types of songs. Or
so true.
Right. Or just, you know, even again, when certain things come down about loving people and, oh, well, now we've got to figure out they're being pushed around by man's ideas of what love is. And well, if we're not accepting people who don't understand the identity God made them in, then we're being bigoted and unloving versus realizing that, again, that agape would be recognizing their identity, their purpose, and encouraging them in that and speaking to that truth and not just saying, oh, well, this twisted person, this twisted fashion that you see yourself in, that's okay. We're going to love you that way. And in fact, we're going to change and twist scripture so that it matches up with your mindset. But that's taking the world's or man's view and letting it influence us, letting it influence how we function. And that's why when you look at the church as a whole, it does look more like the world than being set apart. And then people who aren't are the ones that are being, what is the word? Yeah, I mean, ostracized, they're criticized. There was another word I wanted, but regardless.
Offended.
Yeah. But I mean, that are just being spoken against and held back because you're really standing for something that's true versus letting the world dictate how you should, I say loosely, partner with God, because they don't really understand that partnership.
That's a good word, because the general church is offended by people that want to go deeper.
Yes. Your turn.
Even kids can see something superficial.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I have people in my life who are so against God. They're just, as much as they hate Trump, you know, and all the Republicans, and they hate rich people. You know, there's people out there that are just so extreme. But it's like, that is such a cover and a distraction to them that it, when they see a kid bringing a truth or something, or they see a pure truth. I don't know how to explain it. But when they do get an opportunity to see truth come up purely from a pure, without God being in the words used or anything, they can't even appreciate that. They're so offended and so covered up and distracted and pulled out of living in life. Mm-hmm. They're living in such darkness that they can't see something living in front of them. And it sort of offends me that they're going this route, especially when it's someone I love. Mm-hmm. And they're just taking this superficial route just to say, oh, I'm going to be riding that white horse someday, you know, or other people that are like, they don't hate in the same way, but they still have that same level of superficiality mm-hmm. that's covering them as well. You know,
yeah. It's hard to stomach.
Yeah.
She came back.
See, that's another gate and a place for us to mend our forgiveness. Mm-hmm. You know, I still have to be in a place to serve that person with what God wants done. And I see my people in my life trying to do that without God, and they're precious to me as well. And they're trying to do it without God, and I'm trying to do it with God, and I still can't do it, you know, perfectly. So it's a hard, hard thing.
It is. It's a very, I'm going to say it's a humbling place, but it's a very, take this the right way, down to earth place that we find ourselves in, as a, walking as a son in this world, doing what God's asked us to do, and quote, witnessing, showing people life. And it doesn't always work. And it's not going to always work, because it's the world and it's life. And there's a huge difference between the world and obviously God, life. Larry's turn.
No, I was just going on what you talked about and mentioning that gate of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is just a, you know, without that, going through that gate, bitterness is going to be on our doorstep. And it will not go away through any other point than that concept of forgiveness, of what that means, and to, you know, not hold what they've done against you against them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way we can bless them.
True. Oh, Gail's turn. Hey, that means the only person I haven't heard from is Lisa and David.
I just sit here and I can't help but
have the name Peter Lord come up. You know how he would say, keep the main thing, the main thing. Mm-hmm. And our agape, our purpose is the main thing. And all these other things that we have to manage, gates, windows, doors, walls, are all part of our purpose. And with this recent question mark on my scan, my main thing is to keep on keeping on. And God's the one in control. And we're supposed to continue to do our part and partner. Keep the main thing the main thing.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Peter Lord.
Yes.
I just find this time period we're in so interesting, leading up to Manaus, and maybe it's going to go beyond that, leading up to the seminar too. But I have been praying for the saints. I have been praying for all of the saints that we would not suffer not only repercussions after this trip, like happened last time, but that there will not be preliminary things. And yet, everywhere I look, there's been preliminary things.
Yeah.
And so then I'm going, all right, God, this is not beyond your control or knowledge, you know, so you've allowed this. So there's something that you are finely honing in each of us. You know, I know the challenges in my life have been like quadrupled, yep. You know, and I'm sure everybody else has a list of stuff too. And it's just like, all we can do is, like Gail said, we need to submit those to the Lord and continue to keep the main thing the main thing, and just... we are intercessors at heart. If we are laid flat, we can still pray. You know, if we are dying, you know, like my mom is right now, we still can be praying.
Absolutely.
As long as we have our mind, we can still be praying.
Yes, ma'am.
That's a hard one to follow. That's all right. No, it's almost similar, though. You guys are going to Manaus. My husband travels a lot lately. Sierra is out on an adventure far from home. The motherly instinct is to be fearful for your child when they're gone and moving around and doing stuff that's like this, right? And yet I'm the kind of person, I go on a jet plane for a ride, take the controls. I'm that kind of person, right? All that being said, it's not the fear. It's not the fear that's controlling us. And it's not the things that we have to, when you guys are in Manaus, I feel like my blindness in not being there is fulfilled because you're there. And I have that faith of knowing that you're going to do everything that's needed. And I'm going to be prayer backing you all up. I have no doubt, no fear. I am so excited. And I feel like my arms are reaching out right around you and doing the same things you're doing. I just feel that strong about it. You know, I don't have any doubt that this is where I'm supposed to be as far as praying, and I don't feel bad about anything. I feel great. I've been getting so much encouragement about just praying now about the trip. I'm so excited. I can't even believe that. It's like a functioning piece of, you're talking about gates and windows and moving parts. You're talking about moving parts. We're becoming that fruit, that moving part that people can hold on to. It's not just a light. It's a moving, growing, evolving being thing, you know, and we're part of it, and we're, you guys are going to do it, and we're doing it. We're doing it together. It's very, we're all together in this, very much. Amen. So.
And we need your continued prayer. And there are times when I have been in Manaus, or actually at a conference, even on our conferences, where I wish that you were there when you weren't there, because I love your hugs. Same thing with Lisa. It's like, oh my gosh, I wish they, okay, it's okay. Then I just move on because I know I got it. So yeah, yes, and I just keep on going. So how about this statement, and I'm almost done. I don't even know what time it is. Can't see my, I have my other glasses on. Walls equals truth. If you have solid walls, no gap, it is the truth. And I have a scripture to back that up. Isaiah 26:1-2. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open you the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. The word salvation is what? Yeshua. So Jesus is our walls. He's not only taking the wheel, he's going to be the walls. Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus, be the walls. He's the truth. He's the way. He's the life. He's the light. Jesus is the walls. Yeshua is the walls. Do I have another one? I thought I had two, but that's okay. Oh, I do. Isaiah 60, verse 18. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting no destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. You guys might have heard that one because we talk about that praise to Tehillah thing. You know, that's another thing that really hit me looking at this going, you know, my walls are broken. Wait. Jesus is the truth. He's my wall. If they can't be broken. If they're broken, it's because I tore them down or something. Whatever the right words are for that. What did I do? Get it back to where it belongs. Have that restoration occur. Okay. I have lots of things to say. I know, but I don't remember what they were right now. Okay. Self-control. Say again? Yes, it is. Praise. Meekness. I understand meekness now more than I did last week. And here's the cool thing to me. If you kind of understand a little bit about meekness, you can be operating in meekness and not exactly know it. Because people want you to act not meek in a situation. They want you to be nasty. They want you to be out of control with your emotions. They want you to be strike back. You should don't take that. Hit back. That's ridiculous. You're not that. Punch him in the face. I'm not going to punch anybody in the face. But, you know, with words, I can punch people in the face quite easily. I mean, okay. Go ahead, Vicki.
It's interesting that you bring that up because I was reading about one of our local candidates. She's actually on a local board already, a city council. And somebody was criticizing her for being meek and saying she's meek and she doesn't have a backbone.
Oh.
And someone else came in and said, well, actually, the definition of meekness is controlled strength. And I went, whoa! And that describes her to a T, where you don't just let your emotions fly off and you just start whatever. You know, you've got everything contained. You have the strength, you know, the foundation behind you of knowing what's truth and what isn't. This is in a natural way, of course, I'm talking, you know, but she's also a Christian. Mm-hmm. And that's what actually drives her response, that because she responded to that's what actually drives her is trying to be Christ-like in her responses. And I thought, wow, that was a testimony. That was pretty cool.
And we've talked a lot about meekness as well, right? I don't want to have to go over all that definitions. But I went back and I started looking at it again, looking at the scriptures of where it's at. You know, who's the meekest man on the earth? Moses. Why was he the meekest man? Well, you look at all the stuff he went through. Moses had, in the natural, plenty of reasons to not follow God or to tell God to go, you know, hang himself somewhere or anything like that. And then his brother and his sister, he had every right to just take his staff and smack him upside the head. I mean, you just look at all the things that are going on, but he knew who he is. We know who we are. So we can have self-control, ergo meekness, and operate in the mighty power of God. And even when you don't totally know it, it drives them nuts, the people that are around you, when you act meek. They don't understand it. He wants to talk again?
Absolutely, in that vein of thinking, meekness is truly the strategy God gives us to overcome. And God is about restoring. God is about bringing people from where they are to where they need to be. And so we have learned that when we speak prophetic words, we speak only what God gives us to say. And we know lots more stuff that we could add in, but we don't, because we are listening to what the Spirit is saying, and that is what's needed at that particular point. And we have to trust that. We have to trust that God's given us exactly what is needed at that point, and so we can give it and feel fulfilled without having to go in on some rant or rave to try to justify what we've done or to explain, more than we need to explain. I mean, you know, people's attention is very limited sometimes, and what they need is just that little prick. Mm-hmm. And this is what, if you remember, this is what Jesus told Saul. He said, you know, don't you find it hard that all these pricks are happening and you're not paying attention? I'm pricking you on. I'm not, you know, and God could have just, you know, annihilated him. I mean, but his purpose was to move him from a place of mistakenness into a place of truth. You know, Paul's wall was, substantially, built in the law, and he missed the class that Jesus said, I am the completion of that law. I am now the new wall. I am the truth, the way, and the life, like you were just saying out here.
Yeah.
And so God was, Jesus was responsible for pointing out those places, and they were pricks. They weren't overwhelming. They were just those things to push him in the right direction. And that's, we can expect that's what we're going to be doing, is being those points of pricking. We plant or we water or we harvest. I mean, it's, we don't often get the whole thing.
We don't. Yes. So one more scripture. In Proverbs 16:32. And it's, I'll just read it. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that takes a city. Once again, the ruler, ruling his spirit just brought it back to me again. Where am I? I want to take cities on behalf of the Lord. I mean, that's what I want to do. That's what we want to do. Take it back to the Father. Bring it into his kingdom. And on the trip to Manaus, I've been praying for the Lord to help me with my meekness and to help me with my wall. And I have to have all that in line, because even though lots of people think I'm a nice person, there are times that I am not nice. And I don't ever want that to come out, creep out, especially when I'm in Brazil talking to people. But nevertheless, it's a lesson for all of us that we have to be with walls, not without walls. So, Father, thank you for your word and your continued revelation that you give to each one of us. We want to follow you, obviously, Lord, with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I want to follow you, Lord, all my heart, all my mind, all my strength, my will, all my emotion. I want to be in your kingdom, within the walls that you have created for me. We thank you, Father, for the construction that you have done in each of our lives and continue to do. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.